Hey, I gave you guys a reading assignment. I don't know how many of you did it, but how many looked at that Leviticus 8 and 9? What did it affect you in some way? Did you see all the things that had to be done? It's pretty powerful, huh? But think about this. There were people that remained faithful to that back then. They were faithful. They were faithful to it and whatever. But I talked to you about Aaron's sons, didn't I? And how they were not faithful. This is the God had set all of this up for the priesthood. Why is that so important? Because they're the ones that are supposed to give the word of God to the people. They're the ones that are supposed to take care of the temple, both temples, the temple that they met in and the temple that God resided in. So it was very important for the foundation to be set up in such a way that it's set up with truth and honor. But did those sons do that? They did exactly the opposite of what God wanted. And the fire of God came out and consumed them, didn't it? That's a powerful thing. I think if that happened in today's day, I think it might get some people, you know, on fire for doing the right thing for God. Not that I would like to see anybody done away with or anything, but the power of God being manifested. Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about some more things. We're talking about the manifestation of good and evil. And the battle is constant, isn't it? The battle is constant. So I asked Ceci if she would tell me something that she experienced recently. Let's see, do we have the mic for her to... I want this to be able to go on there so that she can... But while they're getting that, I want you to see that this battle is always constant. But what we're talking about is the manifestation of how it works in you. What comes out of you? How many of you know what this world that we're walking around in is really for? What's it really for? To learn and to... What else? Isn't the manifestation taking place here? Do we understand what hell is like? Do we understand what fear is like? We understand what pride is like. We understand about wars and contentions and strifes. And we understand about the weaknesses of the human flesh. We talk about fornication. We talk about drunkenness. We talk about revelings. We talk about all of those things like that, you know. Adulteries, all of those things. We see those things here so that when we listen to it or hear a word concerning it, we can relate, can't we? Aren't the images here? Aren't the experiences here and a lot of different things? This world serves a very important purpose. It shows you what God is and what he isn't. Why did I say what God is? Because if you're walking the way you're supposed to walk in God, that's going to show the world how God is. Aren't you a representative of God? So that's why we would be peculiar, wouldn't we? Because of that. So I'm still talking about the manifestation of good and evil. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we manifest some of the things that we manifest? You ever stop to think the things that come out of you, what you manifest, why are they manifesting what they are? Dan spoke this morning about us being, you know, the sons of man. Did any all of y'all catch that? The saints of God. So we're supposed to be that. If we're supposed to be the saints of God, we should manifest holy behavior. Isn't that true? Isn't that what it is? It's not a matter of people walking up, oh, you're unholy, you're unholy. You did this wrong, you did that wrong. We're not talking about that. We're talking about God leading you by the Spirit. That's what religion does. They point out every fault that you have and whatever, and they condemn you, they judge you. That's not what we want to do. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in here. Nobody got into this thing without having sinned first. That Jesus is the only one I know of that was sinless. Everybody sinned. We all did something wrong. But what God did, his love was so great for us that he made a way for us to get out from under the sin and to be changed into holy people. Now, what the world says is holy and what God says is holy are two different things. You know what? When God talks about holiness, he's talking about the holiness that's within you. He's talking about how you think, how you act, and how you manifest. You're going to be different than what you were before. And I'm a good example of that. What I was before, man, I had a laundry list of stuff I was doing wrong. And I often tell you, if there was a prison, I should have been put under it. But God took those things and changed them and changed me into what I am today. I was talking to somebody, I think at my son's house, telling him about the things that I did before and how God changed my life, brought my wife into my life. And like I said, next month we'll be married 48 years. It's a powerful thing to have God change you. If I'd stayed my other way, that wouldn't have happened. A lot of the things that have happened in my life, they would not have happened if I'd stayed in my old mindset. The old mindset, we don't realize we're in a bad mindset until we start manifesting things. We start manifesting anxiety and pain and depression and despondency. Our weaknesses take over. You know, we start doing things that we try to soothe our own spirit, and we try things. They don't work. They don't work. It just gets you in a bigger mess. You go into a deeper mess. That's how I started off. You know, you go into a deeper mess. You become despondent. You become negative. How many of you ever walked into a person and started hearing them talk and everything was negative? Everything that came out of their mouth was negative. This is bad. That's bad. This is bad. This is bad. What is life to them? Life is negativity to them. Life is always looking for the bad to happen. Tim said an expression a while back, a long time ago. I told him, I said, quit expecting that. Wait for the other shoe to drop. Don't wait for another shoe to drop, for something else to go wrong. Oh, this went wrong. Now I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Don't have an expectation of evil always encompassing you, as bad things always happening to you. I tell you, I have a good life in Christ. Does that mean bad things never happen? Oh, they happen. Cars break down, things lost, you know, houses get messed up, whatever it may be. Children go buggy for a while, whatever it may be. God always comes in and he takes care of it. And by those experiences, I learned that they can be overcome. If they never entered into my life, how would we know God could overcome? So we say, oh, I don't want this to happen. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that. I don't want to experience that. Let me tell you something. You better experience everything God has for you, because he allows these things to happen in our life to teach us. Are we being taught? We're being taught all the time. So now here's the one thing I want to tell you. God is always faithful, isn't he? In everything, he's always faithful. What if I was to tell you Satan's always faithful too? He is. He's always faithful to try to be there and dissuade you from following God. He is constant in that. He has a lot of help too. A lot of spirits that work with him. A lot of devils and demons that work with him. Is that true? Well, God has a lot of angels too, doesn't he? You see how this works? But he uses what he has. Now, here's the thing. He can only go so far in that because he's not God. This is the key to this. He's not God. What you're serving is the God that can do all things. Catch what I'm saying. Sometimes we attribute that power to Satan. He cannot do all things. Listen to what I'm saying. The God that we serve can do all things. He can manifest in the midst of darkness, light. When you're in hell, he can bring heaven to you. A word from heaven, can't he? You see what I mean? Now, Satan is going to be Satan. Let's just expect him to be what he is, because that's what he's here for. He is a servant of God, really. When he stirs things up in our world, guess what? That we have to start turning toward God, don't we? Jesus was manifested to cause trouble in Adam's world. It's as simple as that. He was manifested to cause trouble in our world. Why would you say that? He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Is he telling us that the secret to everything is that when all of these things happen, that we have a God we can turn to? And that through these things happening, we're going to actually be strengthened, not weakened. You say, wait a minute, you mean when I'm sick or when I'm depressed or when I'm despondent or when things are going wrong and bills are coming, whatever, and then your mind has to turn to what? You should be turning to Jesus. Am I going to remain faithful in this? Am I going to continue, Lord, when these things are happening to me? That's the question you're going to have to ask yourself. Now, Satan's going to be there to tell you what? Give up. Nothing's changed. Everything is the same as it always been. You remember that scripture in the Bible, people say, well, things are going on as they are since the world began. And then they act like Jesus never entered into the world. That's because their whole world is full of them. It's full of the world. It's full of what they want to do. It's full of their lusts. So they don't consider Jesus anything. So how can he come in and make a difference when the door is closed? You see how this works? But is he always willing to do that? Always willing. So I thought what Ceci told me was very interesting. I want her to say it in her own words. And listen to this. This is, I know all of us have gone through this. Go ahead, Ceci.
Am I good?
You can stand, do whatever you want to do. Yeah.
Is it working? Okay. So this had been going on for about like 7 weeks or so. You know, we had a little scare, like a medical scare, and that, when that happened, it just tore me up. I was, you know, I said to myself, like, no, this is good, you know, I got it. God's gonna fix it. But as days went on, I, like, couldn't sleep. I was waking up out of my sleep, and that was the first thing in my head, just that, and I was so worried. And then it just seemed like as days went on, everything else started piling up. Work, school, kids, you know, bills and stuff like that. So it was really hard. And my conversation started to change. The conversation that I used to have with Seth, it was more like the stuff that used to bother me years back. So it was stuff that was from the old man. The stuff that I was afraid of before, that all came up, back up. And Seth kind of would tell me, but I was not listening. I was just like, you know, just kind of listen to me. I just want you to hear what I have to say and just complain and cry about it and be so like that. But something in me kept going back to listening to the Word of God. I would listen to Dan's messages and everything, but that worry was still so big in me. And I kept doubting myself. I was like, do I really believe in God? Am I really as faithful as I say I am? Because if this is a scare, like, this is tearing me up every day. So, you know, we got the results back. Everything was good. Everything is fine. And that's when it hit me. And I was like, you know what? That was scary. I kind of got scared of myself because it was a scare. But that scared me so much that I was doubting God, doubting what I thought I believed in, doubting everything I had heard. But then I heard the message on Wednesday when we came, Ernest was speaking, and I felt like I had to say something because I felt like everything he was saying or that God was speaking through him, it was speaking to me and all that I had been going through for that long. And I kept hearing him, so that's why I spoke. And if you noticed, everybody spoke that day. Like, everybody mm-hmm. was speaking, but I just had to say something because I knew that I did believe. I knew that what I had heard was true in me, and I knew that I served a God that was so powerful that even though I went through that, I felt like I grew. Because it was like, yeah, you went through it, but now, like Gigi said this morning, Claudette, she's all like, you're adding on an armor to yourself. Like, I didn't have that pad right there. Well, now I have it, and it's stronger, and I feel like God is showing me that you do believe in me. You just kind of fell away a little bit, but you went right back. I didn't start all over. So that was it.
That's good, Ceci. That's good. Here, first thing I'm going to say is this. I was gone that day when you had Bible study. I'm going to tell you exactly why, too. My son did something he rarely does. He asked me to be with him on his birthday. You know, me and mom to be with him on his birthday, and we were going to go out and do whatever. So when he asked to do that, I said, you know what, this is important, you know, for us to be, and it was important for us to be there. And then I heard such great things from the Wednesday night. Now, here's the second thing I want you to take note of. I wasn't here, but was the deacon here? Did the Word of God continue to flow the way it was supposed to? Did it meet the need? Do you understand the importance of the pastor and the deacon and all of that together? the word of God continues, is still the same conduit. You see what I mean? So it's important. Those are ordained offices, right? So that's the second thing I want you to think about. The third thing, did the tribulation and the trial, it set you off. It kind of distracted you for a little bit. But then what did God do? Did he do a correction? Did a correction, you came right back to the path. Isn't that what it is? I wanted her to say it personally from her experience. Now, how many of you can say you've had experiences like that? You know what I mean? So this is what I'm trying to show you, the manifestation of good and evil. Think about this. Remember when Peter talked to Jesus and Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Woo, what an answer. And what did Jesus tell him? You couldn't come up with that from your flesh just thinking. He said, my Father in heaven revealed that to you, right? He must have been receptive to the point to understand who he was following and who Jesus really was. And so he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And nobody else said it, but Peter said it, didn't he? He said, my Father in heaven revealed that to you. And it was a chance for him to teach the other disciples, right? Just a little while later down the line, he starts telling them in this discourse that he's talking about. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be turned into the hands of men. And all I said, what did Peter do? He said, not so, Lord. Comes up and grabs the Lord and said, no, that ain't going to happen. And Jesus, when he got him off of him, he said, he turned and looked at him. And what did he say? Get behind me, Satan. Because that's who was speaking through Peter at that time, trying to tell Jesus he was not going to do the job his Father sent him to do. What if he hadn't died? Where would be forgiveness of sins? Where would be the crucifixion of the old man? What if he hadn't done what God sent him to do? You see what I mean? It was a commandment from the Father to what? Go lay his life down, but the commandment also said to do what? Take it up again. Isn't that what we want, the resurrection? No matter what happens in our life, we're going to be resurrected. I'm going to tell you, we're not waiting for some general resurrection to happen down the line. We can be resurrected now. How can that be? It can be because we can go from a carnal mind of death and be resurrected to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. All you have to do is believe that. And that's part of what Dan was saying this morning. We look at ourselves as beneath that, as only human. We'll never attain to something like that. That's impossible. No, it isn't. You can be walking around here in this body and have your mind in heaven. You can sit in heavenly places. Who was the example of that? Wasn't it Jesus? He had all the same things in his flesh that we have. Scripture says this, he was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Well, why did he have to go through that? Because then we would have been pointing fingers all the time saying, well, you're Jesus, and you never had to go through what we had to go through. No, he can look at you and say, I've been through everything you've been through, and then some things you have not even experienced yet. He went through it, and he made it. He did it. He showed us you can have dominion over the flesh. The flesh is really how you think, your heart, whatever. You can have dominion over that. Some people say, that's impossible. I can't stop my thoughts. That's right. You can't. You can't stop them. Doesn't it say there's many voices in the world? Isn't that right, Ceci? Lots of voices. They'll all speak to you. The devil has every right to try to shake your faith. You know why? Because God's using him to help you to learn that you have to overcome. Oh my God. Think about it. Oh, we always think of him as a separate thing that, oh, we ought to be running from or hiding from or do, you know, he's going to come after me or whatever. What if I told you the victory is already yours? It's already yours. This is what Satan is for. Oh, he knows he has a what? A short time. And then one of the disciples said this, one of the apostles said, shortly he will be under your feet. Think about that. He's talking about you and you. He's going to be under your feet. Wait a minute. I don't have the power to do that. That's right, but Christ in you does. You'll look at what God manifested. So I'm talking about manifesting good and evil. I talked about those sons of Aaron that should have been holy men, and they did the wrong thing. I talked about Eli. Remember, the Eli was the priest that was training Samuel. Now, this is important, guys. Samuel was a priest, he was a prophet, he was a judge, and he was faithful. He held all of those offices. In fact, Samuel was the last judge. You know, you read the book of Judges, all those judges there, but the very last judge over Israel was Samuel. But he was also the prophet over Israel. He was also the priest over Israel. Wow, what a powerful man. Remember, his mom was Hannah, kept asking for a son, a child, because she was barren. And God, you know the story. It comes out and God bears the son. But she, what does she tell God? Since you gave me what I asked for, I'm going to dedicate him back to you. So after she had weaned the child, weaned him, but, you know, he was able to walk and talk and stuff like that. She said, now I'm going to take him to the priest in Shiloh. And the priest in Shiloh was Eli. And he said, I'm going to have him trained to do the will of God. Let God have him his whole life. Isn't that what happened to him? Oh, what a powerful story. And God calls him, doesn't he? He tells him, he calls him, Samuel. He goes back to Eli, said, you call me? He said, no, go back to sleep. Goes back to sleep, Samuel. Gets up, goes, asks Eli, said, did you call me? He said, no, didn't call you, you know? Comes back the third time. He said, next time you hear that, say, yay, Lord. Because Eli knew it wasn't him calling him. It had to be God. And when the young man, the boy, we keep thinking young people can't do these type of things. He was becoming a priest as a boy. Catch what I'm saying. Learning the things of God. Learning from the chief priest who was Eli at that time. And the priest all lived at Shiloh at that time. That's where everybody went to have the priest take care of your problem. But this is, and the boy is being raised up in that. I said, wow, powerful. And God, he called, Nick says, yay, Lord. God starts talking to him. He tells him what he called him for, what he was going to do. He said, you're going to be great in Israel. Priest, prophet, catch my judge. You're going to do it all. Samuel, I'm going to use you to anoint kings. I'm going to use you to keep the people straight by speaking the word of God. And that, Samuel said, whoa, God is doing all of this because I've been dedicated back to him. Now, I'm still talking about the manifestation of good and evil. So that's a good thing, isn't it? What he started doing. And he was raised up as a powerful young man. He even told Eli, said, God told me the judgment he has for you. I said, uh-oh. Eli said, tell me what God said about my judgment. He said, and Samuel didn't want to tell him, but God had revealed it to him. And he said, tell me, don't hold anything back. And then he told him, he said, God is judging you, Eli, because your sons went bad and you didn't correct them. And you brought shame to the name of God because his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they would go before the altar, you know, and so forth. They would commit embezzlement from the people. They would take, instead of using it for God, they would take it for themselves. Even the stuff that was sacrificed, you know how the priest was supposed to get the, put in a flesh hook and pull out part for themselves? What they started saying was, let's do ours first. We're going to get what we want first. They took honor unto themselves before they gave honor to God. Catch what I'm saying? In other words, man became preeminent. What their lusts were, what their desires were. Don't we go through the same thing? Sometimes we get pulled off by what we want. Isn't that true? And we put it before God. We don't honor God first. We honor ourselves first. You see these examples of the manifestation of good and evil? So Phinehas and Hophni, God slew them. He slew them a different way. He didn't bring the fire out that time. They had a battle with the Philistines, and God allowed them to be overcome, and they died. And they were the two priests that came out of Eli. Eli, when he heard the news, it was hard on him that his sons had died. He was a heavy-set man. He was sitting on his seat. He fell backwards, and because of the weight that he had, he broke his neck and died from hearing the news of what happened to his sons. What is God telling us? What is he telling? The manifestation of good and evil. Is there a reward for both? Yes, there is. And so you say, wait a minute, this Samuel took over then, as a young man, took over. He was the high priest in Shiloh. And after a while, he had some sons. And guess what his sons did? Anybody know the story? They became judges in Israel. And what happened was they committed extortion on the people too. They would always ask for a bribe or something if they could, because they're judges like the dad, you know? So people are coming to them and they'd ask for bribes, or they would take things that for themselves. This is from Samuel, even though Samuel was a righteous man. So what does this show us? You can live righteous. That doesn't automatically mean your children are going to be righteous. You have to do what? You have to teach them. Yes, raise them, teach them, do the whole thing. And I know Samuel probably tried as hard as he could, but what happens is we have our own will, don't we? Have you ever seen people that come from, oh, that's a good family, and then the son is saying, well, this is his third time in prison, and this is, you know, and then this is happening, and that's happening, whatever, and you're wondering, what happened here? Everybody has the answer for themselves. There used to be a time you'd say, oh, I blame the dad, I blame the mom. Hey, don't ever do that to anybody, because you don't know what they did to raise that child. They may have had every opportunity, but the child decided on his own to do that. And how do you know that God isn't bringing him that way to help him to do what? Come to a place of understanding. Don't we know the story of the prodigal son? Ah, didn't he do the same thing? Left and then had to learn out there. Sometimes God wants them to learn the things that they don't want to take over in their life. And they learn out there, and then they come back home. I'm sorry, I messed up. And they go home to where they know they can go home. Isn't that true? Do they go back to the father? Do they go back to mama? Yeah, they do. Because they know they can get help there. This is the key, man. This is the key. Now, what if I told you going back to the fathers, going back to God, going back to the mothers, getting the understanding you need in order to live? Ah, we can take that, the manifestation we see in this physical world. Yeah, that's how it would work. But what if I told you it's a returning to God? It's a repentance because we've changed our thought. Isn't that true? So now we were evil, but now we're manifesting good. That's what it takes. So don't think it's impossible. God does it. I am living proof God does it. Living proof. All you got to do is talk to some of my old buddies back from the late 60s and early 70s, and they said, there's no way, I won't use the term, man, there's no way, and you know what, that Kenny is a pastor. No way. That's impossible. If anything, he's somebody that's the head of a gang or something, or maybe doing something wrong, or causing people to do the wrong thing, or fighting, or cursing people out. They said, that's what the Kenny we know. I said, no. No, he's a pastor. He's my pastor. Really? When did that happen? How did that happen? Yeah. So I wasn't the worst thing in the world, but I was bad enough. Bad enough. But this is the thing. God can change people. I think about Apostle Paul. He was a rough man. Tough man, too. But he met Jesus on the way to Damascus, didn't he? Jesus knocked him down to the ground. And I like to say this, put his eyes out. Because remember the brightness of the noonday sun, he became blind, didn't he? And didn't Ananias have to come and pray for him and the scales fell from his eyes? Yeah, God really met him. And really shined on him and really showed him, I am God. He knew it was God that stopped him on the way. Nobody else could have done that. A light brighter than the noonday sun, it had to be God. And so he said, who art thou, Lord? Isn't that what he asked? And then when the answer came, it shocked him. I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Oh, can you imagine how he felt? I've been persecuting the church all this time. I've been putting people in prison, clapping when they got killed or stoned. And all the time I was fighting against the God I should be serving. And then he became one of the greatest apostles of them all, didn't he? This is what God does. He takes you from being evil to being good. And don't think it's impossible. People would have told you, oh, it's impossible for this Saul to become Paul. No, it wasn't. God shows you how he did it. And he did it by manifesting his light, didn't he? God is light. And in him there is no darkness. God will manifest his light to you. And that light will manifest what's in you. The good and the evil, won't it? And when you look at the evil, you're going to say this. I can't stay this way. That's what happened to me. I can't stay this way. I didn't realize how evil I was and how evil my thoughts were. I can't stay this way. God, you got to help me. And you know what God did? He started changing things. He started giving me understanding of the word. He started leading me. The light led me along the way to what God is doing right now. Is he still have to lead me? Does he still have to do it? Most assuredly. I can't make it on my own. It's going to have to be God. I have to be led by the Spirit of God. And that's what changes everybody. I hope you're catching what I'm saying about the manifestation of good and evil. It may even start off looking evil, but God can turn it to good. Remember Joseph's brothers, all the stuff they did to him? He said, you meant it for evil, but it was all the plan of God. God meant it for good. How do we know? Don't we judge people sometimes and cut them off because they don't change fast enough for us? Isn't that how we do it? We do it in a second. We judge them and say that they're going to always be that way. Really? That's what people used to say about me. You're going to always be that way. Jacob, you're going to always be that way. See? And your own mind will tell you that sometimes. Is there any way I can change? Am I doing what I need to do? I mean, am I still the same old person or have I changed? Is there a manifestation of good now? Or am I always going to be evil? You see how it worked? And it got to us in some cases, and we said, I got to make a change. Why are you sitting here? Because you made a change. Something happened, and you want to do better, and you don't know. You don't even know the path of how to do it sometimes. But that's where God said, I'll lead you. I put men and women in this earth that'll speak my word. And what'll happen is preaching the gospel is what changes everything. Now, we got people out there preaching that don't understand the truth of God. I do have to say that. You know, you think about it. We were talking at the table when we had breakfast the other morning. I want you to think about this. God said something that I thought was so powerful when Jesus said it. When he's thinking about those Pharisees and those Sadducees and everybody, he said, we know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you? How God rained fire down from heaven, destroyed the city because of how great their sin was. All of that, he told those Pharisees, he said, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. In other words, he hated religion that much, because isn't that what the Pharisees represented? Weren't they full of religiosity? They everything was about religion, do this, do that, whatever. And this is the key. They didn't live it. They were hypocrites. You read the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and it says they were liars, hypocrites. He says, and he told him, he said, you don't repent, you don't do the right thing, you're using the people. But they wanted the honor of being the ones that led the people, didn't they? Always wanted that, wanted to be seen of men. Look how religious I am. Look how holy I am. It's not from an outward appearance, guys. It's got to be within. And if it's from within, you'll be humble because you realize you couldn't do it without God. God is the only one that can change you. He's the only one can hold you upright when everything is against you. Isn't that right, Ceci? When all those thoughts come and they tell you you're not what you think you are, you're not going to make it. I'm going to pull you back down. I'm going to take you back to the old way you used to think. I'm going to bring fear back to you, all of these things. And you have to tell those voices to shut up. Shut up. Because I serve the living God. That's what you have to, and literally sometimes you have to say it. I've done it. Satan, get out of here. What did Jesus say? Satan, get thee. He spoke right to it, didn't he? Sometimes we think, well, that's kind of silly what we're doing right now. No, did Jesus speak to those devils? Didn't he speak to that man whose son tossed himself in the fire and screamed and foamed at the mouth? And he said, come out of him, you foul spirit, and do not enter into him again. You're done. And named what the spirits were, you deaf and dumb spirit. Now here in this world, we think deaf not hearing, dumb not being able to speak. That's not what was troubling that boy. What was troubling, he couldn't hear the word of God, and he couldn't even speak it. That spirit was not allowing him to allow Christ to come into his life. and it would toss him into the fire, make him foam. It did all of these signs to dissuade his faith, to make him think, this will never change. And even the father, in a way, kind of thought that. I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. And he said, now I'm bringing him to you. That's how it worked, huh? And then Jesus spoke the word, and that boy was free. Oh, that spirit tore him when he came out. It didn't want to leave. It did not want to leave, but tear it out, man. Tear it out, Jesus. Tear it out. I'll pull it out of me. Even though it's trying to hold on, pull it out. Because the power of God can do that. And it did, didn't it? Manifestation of good and evil. So don't be fooled by the image you see and by what's going on with you and by what your thoughts are at the time, because that's what Satan's job is. He's trying to fool you. He's trying to make you think you have no power and that God's not with you. He has every right to try to shake your faith in that. But what you have to do is have every right to command him to leave, every right to believe God, every right to invoke the power of God, because you know God and God knows you. So you have every right. Isn't that true? So use it. Don't let yourself keep manifesting things that are not of God. Stop manifesting things that, if Jesus was to stand right next to you and look at everything you did, would you want to manifest some of the things you do before him? You wouldn't want to do it. Stop them. And when I say that, I'm not saying just take a thought in your mind and say you're going to stop. Ask God for help. And he'll stop it for you. It was there to help you, what? Turn to him. And then at the same time, what, for him to overcome it. Last thing, the seven churches. What did he say to them? He came to the churches. The angel that was over the church was weak and allowed some things to come into the church. Isn't that true? But what would Jesus do? He would come to that church, tell them who he is. I am the great God. I am Christ. I am the Son of God. I am God in the flesh, and I've come to help you. So he would tell them who he was. And then he would tell them, he said, and I see the things that you did good. I saw you struggling, trying. I'll tell you the things you did good. And he said, and that was good that you did those things. And then he'll turn right around and say, but then I saw some bad things come in. The manifestation of good and evil. I saw some things come in to the church that shouldn't be there. Catch it? He said, now that I've seen that, I am the great God. I am the Christ. I'm going to lead you the right way. I am the light. Now I'm going to tell you how to overcome that. Repent. Make sure you hear what the Spirit says to the churches, right? Repent. Showed them how to get over it. Showed them how to defeat that thing. And then what did he do? Now I can give you your reward. Those were the steps he did. Do you realize he does the same thing to us? Because we are the church. He's always revealing what's in you for the purpose of overcoming. Any evil in you, he'll reveal it. You say, oh, does he do it all at once? No, it's over time. It's progression. He doesn't overwhelm you. He says, I'll help you with this. And then if we get rid of that, we'll help you with this. Get rid of that, we'll help you with this. Get rid of that, we'll help you with this. Now, let me tell you this. Some of us say, well, I got a million things wrong with me. That's going to take a long time. What if I told you that God, in an understanding of the word, one will put 1,000 to flight? Two words God gives you will put 10,000 different things to flight. You do that exponentially, pretty soon you'll be over all that junk that's going on in your life. Catch what God is saying. The power of the word covers many things. Doesn't it say love covers a multitude of sins? Yes, it covers many things. So you get understanding, you're going to knock a bunch of devils out, a bunch of lies out. Get the understanding. Isn't that right, Ceci? Get the understanding and you'll knock a bunch out. Get more understanding, you'll knock out a bunch more. And you just keep doing that until God brings you to the place that you are the man of God, the woman of God, the Holy One of God. Does that make sense? Can't do it by yourself, but you can't be holy without the Holy Ghost. And you can't trust God and worry too. If you're saying that you're trusting God and you're just, okay, that something's wrong, that the word you just spoke didn't come out right. So it shows you that the enemy is at work. Can't trust God and worry too. Is that right? Can't listen to all those voices and then listen to the one voice. You see what I'm saying? So what do you have to do? You cry out. David did, didn't he? Lord, hear my cry. Isn't that what he said? And does God hear it? From a sincere heart, from understanding God, not religion, but understanding God, understanding his word, understanding through wisdom. Does he hear it? Any man lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, who gives you liberally, not just a little bit, a lot. Doesn't he? Hope you got something out of what we said today. We may stick with this for Wednesday, because here's the thing. There's more things that we have to get out of this. So manifestation of what? Of good and evil. I want you to start looking at your manifestations, what you do, even in this physical world. I want you to start looking at them. Why do I do what I do? What's motivating me? Look at the good things you do. Look at the thing. You're here in church today, aren't you? You're listening to the word of God. You want to take home understanding, don't you? Is that the good thing? Then think on those things. Doesn't it say, is Philippians 4:8, think on these things. Whatever's honest, whatever's pure, whatever's holy, all of these things, think on these things. So you can change a mindset. Start thinking all those things. You don't have to think evil all the time, and you don't have to yield to it all the time. There'll be some testing, some proving, that's for sure. But you can be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Thank you guys for listening to me.